Isaiah chapter 9, and beginning to read at verse 1. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it, with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We'll end our reading at verse 7, and we know that God will bless to us this portion from his own precious and inspired word. Perhaps we could turn briefly to God in prayer and ask for his blessing as we come to minister the gospel of Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee for the blessings of this day. We give thee thanks, O God, for thy goodness and loving kindness to us. We rejoice in the gift of thy Son, our Savior. We thank the Lord that he came into the world to save sinners. And we thank thee for saving us by thy precious blood. And as we turn to thy word, we would ask thee to solemnize our thoughts and our hearts, bring every thought into captivity, and grant our Father that our minds may be centered upon the Savior. Bless thy word to every heart, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. And just before I turn to the text for tonight, I would like to say a very special thank you to everybody for helping to make this a very happy and blessed Christmas for us here in Greenville. And I would like to thank the congregation for the very kind gift that they've given to us. Since I mentioned this morning, the hen has laid another egg. And it's now $155, and for this we give everybody thanks. We rejoice, and we are really touched, and we thank you very sincerely for your generosity and kindness to us at this time. And also, as I said this morning, to the Hannah Circle for their kindness to the children, we also appreciate this. And to everybody, we say to you tonight a very sincere thank you, and may the Lord indeed bless you in return. Now we're turning to verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now there is enough material in this verse to keep a preacher preaching for almost a year. Now, I'm not going to preach for a year without ending tonight and keep you here all night. But there's one word in this text, I want to take it and to speak upon the subject of our wonderful Savior. His name shall be called Wonderful. Now that's the name given over 700 years before the birth of Christ. This is the name given to our wonderful Savior. His name shall be called Wonderful. And the one whom we worship tonight, the one whom we adore, he is wonderful. He's a wonderful person. He's a wonderful Savior. He's wonderful in every way we take him. And in every aspect that we look at this person, he is wonderful. And so it is this wonderful Savior tonight that we want to contemplate for a short time in this service. Our wonderful Savior, his name shall be called Wonderful. First of all, he is a wonderful person. This is seen in his conception. He is a wonderful person in his conception because he was a miracle baby. It was a miracle that surrounded his birth. He had no earthly father. Joseph was not his father. The Holy Ghost came and overshadowed Mary, that chosen one through whom Jesus should be born. And as a result, we have this wonderful miracle birth of a wonderful person. And at his birth, there was a wonderful announcement. It came by the angels. Who else had their birth announced by angels? We don't read that any other birth was accompanied with such angelic messengers. My, here we have this wonderful person born in a miraculous way. And this wonderful message proclaimed by the angels, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is a wonderful person. In this text we read that unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Joseph's not his father. The son wasn't born in the sense that all men are born. No, this son, who existed prior to his birth at Bethlehem, this one who was in the very beginning, who was away in eternity, the great I Am, the eternal only begotten Son of God, he was given, not born. Yes, the child was born, but the Son is given. And we rejoice tonight in this wonderful, unique, and unusual person because he is the God-man united in human flesh. Oh yes, he's wonderful even in his conception and birth. But he is also wonderful in his character. A wonderful person. In his character, the Bible tells us that there was no fault found in Christ. He is the perfect Son of God without sin. Peter tells us in his first epistle that he did no sin. In him was no sin. In his mouth was found no guile. Yes, he is a wonderful person in his very character. He's straight up and down. No deceit. No guile. No sin. No trace of sin. The holy, harmless, undefiled Son of God. He could not sin because his nature was foreign to sinning. Thank God we've got a perfect sacrifice for sin. One who's capable of taking upon him the sins of his people, the sins of humanity, and of bearing them on his own body on the tree, that he might make a perfect, complete, once for all sacrifice for sin. Wonderful person. Wonderful in his conception and birth. Wonderful in his character, without flaw. Blameless. Oh yes, he's blameless. The spotless Lamb of God. But he's wonderful in his concern.
wonderful in his concern for men and women, wonderful in his concern for sinners, wonderful in his concern for the troubles and ills and problems and perplexities of humanity. Wonderful in his concern, Christ was willing to help all who are in trouble with sin, all who have got problems as a result of sin. Christ is willing to help. He's wonderful in his concern. Oh, we see him as he went along the road to Jericho. He's concerned about one wee man called Zacchaeus. And he stops right under the tree as Zacchaeus looks down onto this wonderful person. And he calls Zacchaeus to come. His concern goes out to Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is longing to meet Christ. His longing and Christ's concern meet. And praise God, there's a great union between Zacchaeus and Christ. Christ's concern drew Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus followed. And he became a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. Yes, he's wonderful in his concern. When the blind men were on the way and Christ was passing by, again Christ showed his concern. While all the others wanted him to hold their peace. Oh, don't trouble the Master. Don't trouble. This is Jesus of Nazareth who's passing by. Keep quiet. But the wonderful thing about it is the concern of Christ stands towering over all the others. My head and shoulders above everyone else. And Christ calls for the blind man. And Christ cures him. And he receives his sight. A wonderful Savior. Wonderful in his concern. And he's concerned for you tonight if you're not saved. My, he longs to bring you into the fullness of salvation. He's wonderful in his compassion. My, the Savior's heart beats with compassion towards the sons of men. Compassion really means love and action. And my, we see this clearly carried out in the life of Jesus Christ. Christ not only had love, but my, he showed this love both in word and in deed. And how we praise God for such a Savior. How he had compassion upon men and women. Again, we read of Christ having compassion upon the multitude. My, as he beheld the people going to and fro, he says his heart was moved with compassion towards the multitude. And he said he sees them without a sheep having no shepherd. And his heart is further moved with compassion. What a wonderful Savior. And we see him overlooking Jerusalem as he climbed the mountain and beheld that city. Again he's moved with compassion. How he wept over that city, and he said, how oft would I have called thee together, as a hen would gather her chickens under her brood, under her wing, but ye would not. My, the compassion of the Savior. Wonderful in his compassion. Wonderful in his compassion for the lost, for the perishing, wayward sons of men. And perhaps you have a loved one tonight and are not saved. They're still on the road that goes to a Christless hell. You may be concerned for them. You may get down on your knees and pray for them occasionally or even more often, maybe very often. But let me say there's one. And no matter how great your concern and your compassion is for such a one, there's one whose compassion outshines and is deeper and goes beyond the compassion of any human heart. And it's the compassion of our wonderful Savior. Praise God, we have got one whose heart is moved with compassion. And if there's any in this service and you're not saved, there's a wonderful person who has a wonderful concern and compassion to save your soul tonight. And to bring you to himself, that you might become a child of God. Thank God for such a Savior. He did not come to judge the world. He did not come to blame. He did not only come to seek. It was to save he came. And when we call him Savior, then we call him by his name, our wonderful Savior. Thank God tonight, he's wonderful in his person. Think of his concern. Think of his compassion. Oh, nobody lived like Christ. Nobody loved like Christ. Oh, let us remember tonight His birth, His death, His resurrection. Remember the sufferings as well as the joy of His birth. And how wonderful is this blessed person, the blessed Redeemer. But not only is He a wonderful person, but He has wonderful power. Bless God for His wonderful power. It is dynamic in His preaching. Christ's wonderful power is exhibited in the dynamic of His preaching. He's a wonderful Savior. My, no man spake like this man. And we are told that the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one that had authority. Oh, the dynamic of His preaching. The very words that He spoke were words of power. Words that came right from the place of power. Because He is the Son of power. Because He's the Son of God. Yes, dynamic in His preaching. They were astonished at His doctrine. But He's also a wonderful person because of His divine power. Christ healed all manner of diseases, all kinds of sicknesses. He healed broken hearts. He healed broken bodies. He healed broken homes. He's a wonderful person. He has wonderful power. He has wonderful power to heal. And He can heal the sin-sick soul. He can heal the broken heart. He can heal the wounded spirit. Thank God He came to bind up the brokenhearted and to set at liberty those that are held captive in the prison house of sin. And He came to speak peace to the troubled soul. Sinner, He's a wonderful Savior. He's our wonderful Lord. He's a wonderful person. And He has wonderful power. Praise God, this power is divine. It is denouncing power because Christ's power overcame the demons, overcame the power of Satan. And Christ's power can overcome the devil, even as the devil seeks to rule the lives of men and women. The Bible tells us quite clearly that a man is either saved or lost. He's either following Christ or following the works of darkness. And if he's a follower of Christ, then he's under the power of God. But if he's following darkness, then he's under the power of the devil. But Christ has got denouncing power because He can break the power of the devil. He can denounce Satan and the demons and every chain that binds the soul in darkness and set you free to become a child of God. Praise God for His power. The power of this blessed person, this wonderful Savior. And then we notice this wonderful power in that it is dying, in His dying pity on the cross. My, we beheld the Savior on the tree and we see His pity there on the cross as He prays for His enemies. He prays for those who nailed Him to the tree. The very soldiers, those wicked and cruel hands that had taken the blessed body of Christ and cruelly treated it, maltreated it, mistreated it, my, persecuting the very person of Christ. And on that tree, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. Oh, this pity of the blessed Savior. He had this wonderful person has got this wonderful power to forgive even His very enemies. And then we see that pity further exhibited as He listens to the cry of the dying thief. And on that cruel cross, as the thief hung by His side, and He asked the Savior to remember him, the Lord Jesus Christ in pity beheld him. And Jesus answered, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And well has the hymn writer penned that lovely verse. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I though vilest he wash all my sins away, I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me. And on the cross, he shed his blood from sin to set me free. Will the dying thief experience the power of this wonderful Savior? As he looked to Christ, he was gloriously saved. He had power to save the thief. And friends, tonight, he's power to save you. You're not saved. Oh, you know you enjoy attending the house of God. You enjoy the services of God's house. You enjoy perhaps the fellowship of God's people. But perhaps down deep in your heart you realize, I'm not saved. There's something missing. I need this wonderful Savior. And there may you, as vile as the sinner, or as the thief, wash all your sins away. Oh, there's hope. There's life and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, to be found in him. And then, praise God, we have got this power exhibited in Christ's pardon again. First John 1 verses 7 and 9, we are told in Scripture that he offers forgiveness to all men. Offers pardon, offers forgiveness. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The sinner, are you willing to confess your sin? This wonderful person born in Bethlehem with this wonderful power to save and to pardon, he has power to meet your need tonight. He did it for the woman who was taken in adultery. My, how those her accusers brought her to the Savior, to the Master, and there they condemned her right in the very presence of the Lord. And Jesus Christ has said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone at her. And stooping down, he began to write a message upon the ground. When he was finished, everyone had gone. And he says, where are thine accusers, madam? And she would say, they're gone. He says, doth no man condemn thee? She says, no, Lord. The wonderful words of Christ, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Oh, the wonderful power of a wonderful person. And sinner friend tonight, Jesus would say, I don't condemn you. Didn't come to condemn you in sin. I came to remove sin. I came to pardon it. I came to forgive it. Put your trust in me. Go and sin no more. And praise God, you too shall be saved by this wonderful person. And then, not only is Christ wonderful in his person, wonderful in his power, but wonderful in his promises. Thank God, he's wonderful in the promise of salvation. He has promised salvation to all who will trust in him. Wonderful in the promise of salvation. He that believeth shall be saved. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth shall be saved. Oh, it's definite. It's something that is certain. There's no doubt about it. And he's wonderful in the promise of his salvation. He that believeth shall be saved. But that verse continues, he that believeth not shall be damned. Remember, there's a second part to the verse. And let it be that tonight you'll believe to the saving of your soul. And know that wonderful promise from this wonderful person to be real in your life. And as he gives you the promise of salvation, my, you'll be wonderfully and gloriously saved. There's no sin too great. He's able to save to the uttermost all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth, to make intercession for us. A wonderful Savior with a wonderful promise. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. A wonderful promise. A wonderful Savior who keeps his promise. And if you come, he'll not cast you out. Thank God you just simply believe and trust the blessed Savior. Come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Again, he's wonderful in his promises. What a glorious open door there is for you tonight and for me to come in and to receive this wonderful gift, this gift of salvation, this person who's wonderful, whose name is wonderful, and who's a wonder-working Savior, defeating the powers of darkness and bringing to us the glory of heaven into our soul. Trust him. Wonderful promises of salvation. Wonderful promise of security. My, thank God, those who dwell in Christ dwell in a place of security. Dwell under the hand of him who made the universe. And if God's hand is powerful enough to hold this universe in orbit and to keep it rotating, thank God, it's great enough to hold a sinner like you and a sinner like me. Oh, we're only little specks of clay in the eyes of God. And if his great and mighty power can keep this world going, how much more can he keep you in the hull of his hand? Wonderful promises of security. Thank God he's able to save to the uttermost and able to keep to the uttermost. And he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And although all the devils in hell combine to make a second claim on your soul, bless God, they'll never snatch you out of your Father's hand, because it's a powerful right hand. The right hand of God is strong to deliver, strong to save, and powerful to keep. Bless God, we're not kept by our own inward feelings, not by our own changeableness, fickleness. One day we feel up, the next day we feel down, but praise God, we trust in one who's unchanging. One who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When I feel so low, and I feel perhaps that no one cares, thank God the Savior cares, and he keeps me. And although I change, bless God, he changeth not. Wonderful promises of salvation. Wonderful promises of security. Oh, let us trust in such a wonderful Savior, who's able to do so much and far exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Wonderful promises of satisfaction. Thank God, Jesus saves and he satisfies. He satisfies the longing of this heart. The world could never satisfy my heart. Didn't satisfy the heart of Elvis Presley, who gained the world in popularity in song. Didn't satisfy those who gained the world in material possessions. Doesn't satisfy those who gained the world through conquering and battle. No, thank God, Jesus satisfies the heart. This heart of yours and mine was made to be satisfied only from heaven, because man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Wonderful promises of satisfaction. In John chapter 14, in those opening verses, we have that wonderful portion of his word where Jesus has said, "In my Father's house," and my, this speaks of heaven, and someday, and we believe in him, someday we will go to be with Christ if we die before he comes. And if when he comes we're still found in this earth, my, thank God, will be with him for all eternity. This speaks of heaven, and surely heaven satisfies the heart. The very thought of an everlasting, glorious kingdom surely satisfies the heart. And again, Jesus says, "My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Surely, Jesus
satisfies our hearts. He's a wonderful person. He has wonderful power. His promises are wonderful. Wonderful promises of salvation. Wonderful promises of security. Wonderful promises of satisfaction. But finally, he's wonderful in his provision for his people. Thank God he meets all the needs of his people physically. Praise God, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. Thank God there's healing for our soul when it's sick with sin. Praise God that in Christ there's healing, even for the body, when it be according to his gracious will. Thank God he is the Savior, and he's the one who meets our need physically. God is interested in our souls, in our minds, and in our bodies. And those who trust the Lord, praise him, he has promised that he would give to them the spirit of love and of a sound mind, and the blessings that attend this great salvation are innumerable. We couldn't number them. Bless God, they're greater than we've ever bargained for. What a wonderful Savior. The provision that he's made for our bodies. The provision that he's made for us physically. That we might be kept even there in that part of our living. Provision for our material need. My over there in Philippians 4:19, God has promised to cater for all our need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. God doesn't meet all our wants, but he meets our needs. He doesn't meet all our desires, but he meets our needs. He knows our needs. He knows that which is good for us. And praise him, he will provide. Wonderful in his provision for his people. Wonderful in his provision in protecting us, in caring for us, and wonderful in his provision for our spiritual need, given us his word, given us this book, this gold mine of wealth for our spiritual nourishment and growth and grace. My, what a wonderful Savior we have. His name shall be called Wonderful. Wonderful. Is Christ wonderful to you tonight? Is this same Jesus precious to your soul? Do you know him through that experimental knowledge of faith and trust? And through the grace of God, have you received this wonderful person, a wonderful Savior? There's a Savior from all sin, if we'll only let him in. To your heart, see, there will reign while we trust him. He will put the evil out, save from every fear and doubt, and will soon begin to shout, Hallelujah. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim, Hallelujah, what a Savior. Is it yours tonight? Do you know him? Do you know this wonderful person? Have you experienced his wonderful power? Have you been blessed through his wonderful promises? Do you know his wonderful provision? He's a wonderful Savior. Tell me, is he wonderful to you? Do you know him? You can know him tonight. You can just step right out on the promise that those who come, he will receive. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Yes, he will come in. And on this Christmas night, when we've been reminded all day today, Christ was born in Bethlehem, a Savior. Perhaps you don't know him. Will you trust him this evening? What better time than now to receive Christ? To receive the Savior of mankind and to know his wonderful pardoning love and pardoning grace in your soul this evening. and have that wonderful peace which only He can give. Peace that will pass all understanding. It will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. A peace that will never end. A peace that will one day bring us right into that tranquility of heaven above, where all is peace and perfect rest, and where no thief shall break through nor steal, where no robbers shall come, where no sin shall enter, where all will be glory in Emmanuel's land. Will you take Him tonight and receive Him, our wonderful, blessed Jesus? Amen.